We are here with Edgar from HighWireWiFi.org.
HighWire is our PR firm. We're the Wi-Fi Alliance.
Oh, you're the Wi-Fi Alliance.
Yeah,
okay,
no problem. Well, we're just getting started. So.
Okay, well, I'm just getting started too.
So we're here at CES talking about the great success that Wi-Fi has become.
Oh, for sure.
One of the data points that we're sharing with folks is this month, ABI predicts that we'll be shipping our 10 billionth device with a B.
Yeah.
So, way more devices than people in the world.
That's amazing.
It's one of the success stories of the high-tech era, Wi-Fi is.
Well, just try to think how many things you do in your house today that involve Wi-Fi. Think how aggravated you now get when your internet goes out and your Wi-Fi goes out. It's not a pleasant experience.
It's almost a utility, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's something that you just, nothing will drive me more insane than if I don't have internet or if my Wi-Fi is not working.
It's your link to the world. And in fact, most of your audience here will agree, Wi-Fi has become the de facto network at home.
Absolutely.
The de facto network at work. And increasingly,
well, there's nothing else. What else is there? I mean,
the complaint that we have, that's the number one thing that people care about, is they want more Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Right? So we're working on that. We have more capabilities.
When you say working on more Wi-Fi, range?
Having operators deploy more Wi-Fi and making it very suitable for them to manage it as another operator network, for example. Making it very easy for roaming agreements to be set up so that your subscription that you may have at home works when you're in Asia or somewhere
else. Are we going to get to the point where we're going to have free Wi-Fi wherever we go? Huh? Come on.
That's a business model question. We mostly deal with technology market development.
Is the technology here to do it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Wi-Fi is carrying already on mobile, is carrying about 80% of the traffic, more than 95% of the traffic on tablets and laptops. So it's robust, it's reliable, and it's...
There are some places in the United States that the towns have had the foresight, not many of them, but to provide free Wi-Fi included in the taxes that you pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Right. That's happening a lot around the world. One of the first instances where we saw this was in Taiwan, where there is some sort of a law that says you have the right to information.
Really?
It's sort of your individual.
I did not know that it's
citizen,
a law,
right? And so the government's providing you access to the internet because you might want to go in there to get your health record, for example. So they have Wi-Fi available around the country.
Now, am I correct? But I'm under the impression that the United States is actually lagging in terms of bandwidth speed. That most countries have Wi-Fi and internet speeds that are significantly faster than what we have here.
It varies. So there are some countries that have more broadly available Wi-Fi and faster Wi-Fi. There are some.
Who's
areas
the fastest?
Changes
all
the time.
What, do you think this is going to be an easy interview? This is
It changes all the time. We don't have a live update on that,
okay.
So I'd hesitate to say.
All right. What can I expect in the future from Wi-Fi? I mean, how's it going to change? What's going to become better?
This year, we're announcing that there will be something called Wi-Fi Aware.
Wi-Fi Aware.
And it'll be a capability in your Wi-Fi device to, based on your preferences, to know about the environment around you so that you may be notified about things you may want to do. So that's Wi-Fi working for you all the time without you having to do anything.
So what's it going to tell me? Like there's a good pizza joint?
That could be something, right? Or you walk into your football stadium and it'll tell you, hey, on gate 8, there's a short line. You can get in right now. Or it'll tell you, maybe you're a gamer and you just got on the train. It'll tell you two cars down from you, there's another gamer with your skill level who's willing to have a game right now.
Who decides what information to disseminate?
The end user.
The end user.
That's right.
Well, the end user determines what they're going to receive.
Receive or send.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Subscribe or advertise, all of that, and it's the first manifestation of smart Wi-Fi.
Right.
We've already had sort of rudimentary examples like your Wi-Fi thermostat telling
right.
you I've been trying to change the temperature and your house is not responding. Something is wrong. You know, you can get an email from your thermostat about that. Or, hey, you left your garage door opener for 2 hours. Something may be wrong. Check
it
out.
Well, certainly, you know, throughout CES, at least this year, to me, one of the biggest industries that's just bursting at the seams on almost every floor that you go on here is home automation, which is, involves some type of integration via the Wi-Fi network or the Bluetooth network or whatever it may be. But, boy, there's anything that's run on electricity is definitely in that box that it can be controlled. Hey, you left your garage door open. Hey, you know, you have cameras.
That's right.
You want to see what's going on inside, outside, your thermostat, your air conditioning, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we should all be excited about that. I had a personal example, right, of something that happened to me recently. I wake up in the middle of the night because I hear some water leaking. And lo and behold, the water heater had failed, right? And it was leaking through the ceiling.
That's not good.
You know, we have the technology today where that water heater could have shut itself off and alerted me that something had gone wrong.
Sure. And prevented
the damage. All of this, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there could be terrific benefits that enrich our lives, make our life easier, kind of take worries away.
Well, that particular application is literally a no-brainer at this point. I mean, there's no reason on this planet why they can't incorporate some mechanism. I have a friend of mine actually in Arizona who's had two major floods, and his home is absolutely enormous and exquisite, but he's had tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage because of a leaky one time it was the water heater, and another time it was the craziest thing. It was a pipe that was going to the toilet, and it just was leaking, and he was away for a month, and a little water for 2 minutes isn't bad, but when it's a couple months, water's bad news. So he actually had someone come in and invent or develop a mechanism where there's a solenoid, and it will actually, if it perceives a leak, it will flip it and turn it
off.
But
isn't that just such a clear, broad need, right?
Absolutely.
So you're
especially
you're,
the water heater, God.
Yeah, and your audience may not know who we are, Wi-Fi Alliance.
That's why you're here to tell us.
We're the people that bring you Wi-Fi. We have over 600 companies that are working on these kinds of, let's call them opportunities, to make your life better through better Wi-Fi. And we've been terrifically successful, but we're not standing still. We have about 20 enhancements to Wi-Fi that are coming over the next few years. So,
now who in your organization determines that? What is your organization comprised of? Who are the
it's
members?
It's a who's
of this?
Who in technology. About a third last year, our industry shipped over 2 billion devices just in 2014. About a third of that was consumer electronics gear.
I'm surprised it wasn't more. Okay.
Right. Well, there's also mobile, which is a big segment
sure.
of the industry. Automotive, traditional computer networking. It's a very rich industry. But consumer electronics is very well represented. And so these companies are sending us their best engineers to work on making Wi-Fi better. And we're all benefiting from that.
Okay. So do you get involved in legislative types of issues?
we provide opinion. We want to make sure that there is fair regulations out there for access to spectrum and for sharing the medium.
So do you deal with the FCC and the intricacies of a spectrum? I'm not going to use the word monopolies, but...
We speak with the FCC on a regular basis.
Yeah, and what kind of a relationship do you have with them?
Very healthy, very positive. They count on us as a resource.
And how much do they listen to you? I want to know. It's my government.
The U.S. government has estimated that the Wi-Fi economy is measured in the hundreds of billions of dollars per year.
I'm sure.
So it benefits society, it benefits consumers, it benefits the economy. And so, yes, they're interested in hearing what the Wi-Fi industry has to say.
Okay, and what's the opinion on, capping and making different degrees of the internet free and not free and things of that nature?
I guess you'd have to ask the FCC.
Oh boy, this guy's good. This guy's good. Okay, no opinion on that.
No opinion on
no
that.
Comment, no comment.
We don't have a position on that.
Okay. What else can you tell us?
Well, as I mentioned, there's a lot coming from the Wi-Fi industry, not just in terms of speed. We're in the fifth generation of Wi-Fi, if you didn't know, but you wouldn't know, because if you buy something
today, it's already built in.
It works with something that you had 10 years ago, right?
Right.
And it's the reason that Wi-Fi is going into airplanes and refrigerators and automobiles, right? Because people realize Wi-Fi is going to be around for a long time. So there's more coming in terms of just capacity and speed. But besides that, there's areas for ease of use, for automatic authentication. So your device automatically connects securely without you having to do anything.
That would be nice.
Passpoint, it's called. And you'll see more of that come out.
Right now, Wi-Fi technically is, I hate to say this, but is not really that secure.
You know, the security in Wi-Fi is like the seatbelt in your car. If you have it on, it works great, but you have to engage it, right?
Well, I mean, even if you have the basic security procedures on that one would do, I mean, it's still not as safe as I would like to see it be. I mean, it's still penetratable.
It's interesting you say that because, you know, the U.S. government uses Wi-Fi, banks use Wi-Fi. WPA2 security has never been compromised.
Never been compromised.
It has never been compromised.
Okay.
Right.
What about WPA?
WPA is not something that we recommend using.
Okay, so that has been compromised.
It's not the government-grade security, let's say.
Okay. All right, well, again, that's the reason for your organization to develop these new encryption processes that do make it safe, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely.
And that's the good news why you people exist.
Exactly. Yeah, we're trying to, you know, we realize it's complicated, right? Technology can be frustrating if it's not easy to use. So we're working on ways to, you know, to have the end user very easily set up the highest security if that's what they want. You know, for example, with NFC, just touching two devices together,
right,
or pushing a button. You know, very simple ways to set up security.
Great. Anything else that I didn't ask?
Keep an eye on the space. Lots and lots coming from Wi-Fi Alliance, and you know, people love Wi-Fi. We have a very strong group of folks working on this, so we'll be working to continue to make Wi-Fi better.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Exactly.
I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Nice meeting you.
Same here.
Good luck, and I'll be keeping my eye on it, and I expect great new things
you
soon.
You should.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.